السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ، نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسول الکریم، اما بعد، وی کنٹینیو ود دا ڈسکشن آف دا دعا وچ وی ہیو بین ڈوئنگ اوور دا پاسٹ فیو ڈیز ود دا فضل آف اللہ تعالیٰ. بائی ناؤ یو مسٹ بی نوئنگ دا دعا کوائٹ ویل اینڈ دا ٹرانسلیشن اینڈ میننگ آلسو. So basically in the dua we are asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for a protection of all the ni'mats and all his bounties which he has given to us. We are asking Allah ta'ala that he must not snatch away those bounties. There must not be a reversal, there must not be a turnaround, that sometimes the bounty is gone through and leaves behind a big problem in the person's life, a major problem in his health or in his work, finance or other matters. And also we ask Allah Ta'ala for protection from the coming of sudden difficulty, problem, disaster in the person's life. And finally we were discussing that, oh Allah, protect us. We seek protection in you from all forms of anger of yours. So that is what we were discussing. So instead of having too many du'as which we want to read like a wazifa, these days we have become what they say wazifchi, that the person just wants to read lengthy wazifas. Whereas these wazifas, they go with actions and amal. Majority of the cases, there will be some exceptions to the in a small percentage of people's lives, there could be a test from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But generally it is on account of our deeds and our actions, our sins and our vices and our evils, that ni'mats are snatched away. And this is what I'm emphasizing over the past 2-3 days, that when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala becomes angry, then he takes away those ni'mats. We have discussed one or two things. One was interest. That get out of all this bond and interest payments and don't take it lightly that it is something ordinary. It's just doing some kind of transaction. Because the person is under the curse of Allah Ta'ala and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Allah Ta'ala's angels when he is taking on interest, giving on interest. No matter how much outwardly the person's finance seems to be increasing by the taking, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says yamhaqu Allahu ar-riba wa yurbi as-sadaqat. So we must have yaqeen in that, and believe me that those people who made some effort to dispose of their surplus assets, whatever they had, because many people are sitting with krugerrands, they're sitting with jewelry, they're sitting with timeshares, they're sitting with so many other kinds of luxuries, and they are paying bond, or they're paying interest, interest upon interest. Millions and millions of rands of our Muslim money has made those same Jewish banks rich, which we curse day and night. So get out of this interest factor, because otherwise these du'as also are not going to help. Then we discuss very briefly zina, that zina takes away the barakat of the person's wealth. Empires have collapsed when zina, indulgence became in abundance. So if empires can collapse, 70,000 people died in the Bani Israel on one occasion in one war because one person amongst them committed zina. Now can we just imagine? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, his anger is unleashed when people are indulging in zina, which has become so common today. And if it is not the actual zina, then it's zina of the eyes or zina of the ears or zina of the hands and feet, zina of the tongue. All these things also come with zina. So I'm just touching on it, that when the person will indulge in sins, then he must not say somebody did jadu and it blocked my business. Somebody did jadu and suddenly I find that my business is collapsing. It was progressing, I was going higher and higher, and suddenly somebody blocked it with some jadu. that jadu is of the person's sins. It's the sins of the person that is the biggest jadu, which has blocked all that barakat in that business. Now the person runs around for taweezes. And the taweez wala also, as soon as he sees a client, first thing the jadu has been done on you. And then he will put him through a trance or put her through trance and so many kinds of things, and the amount of lies that are told after that and the amount of friction and disunity that's created in the society is unreal after that. Because the person thinks that definitely jadu has been done. I'm not saying that there is no such thing as jadu. I'm not saying that there's no such thing as jinn. These things are prevalent. But for a small percentage it might be true. But the majority of the cases is the sins which have caught up with the person. And that is why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's anger has been unleashed, and it is creating division, friction, disunity across the board. Problems, problems and problems. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, out of his love for the ummah, he has told us. And Allah ta'ala also in the Quran Sharif, so many places he has informed us about this. That for every action there is going to be a reaction. If you are going to send up good actions, Allah Ta'ala will send down good conditions. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّةً يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِّن كُلِّ مَكَانٍ فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَصْنَعُونَ. Allah Ta'ala gives the parable of a city. I'm just giving you the gist and the meaning. And that city was enjoying peace. It was enjoying security. It was enjoying protection. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had blessed that city with all kinds of ni'mats, with all kinds of bounties. Even the people that were living in that city, their rizq and their sustenance was coming easily from all sides. Raghadan, very, very easily. They didn't have to work 24 hours of the day. They didn't have to work from Monday to Monday or Sunday to Sunday, 7 days a week, 24 hours or 16 hours. Unfortunately, in this greed of ours and in this chasing after this material wealth, there's nothing wrong with earning. The person can become the richest person. If his niyat is good and he's spending that wealth also correctly, he's giving for the poor, the needy, for the widows, the destitute, for masjids, for madrasas, and for other kind of welfare and assistance, then there's nothing wrong with that. But what I am saying that in the greed to accumulate more and more, we have ruined the lives of families also. We are making people work from 7 days a week, unconcerned whether this person has got children, he's got some family life also. Brothers, I don't pull back anything, because alhamdulillah my gaze and my sight and my eyes are not on the pocket of any person, wallah, believe me. So therefore I can say things what I wish to say, which I believe to be haq and to be the truth. It hurts, it really hurts. People come to me and they cry. They cry and they say, Maulana, I can't even go for a funeral. I can't even go and visit any family member. The children are off on Saturday and Sunday, but we have to work, whether we like it or not. And then we have to meet up, of course, our bills, so we have to work, whether we like it or not. There was a time when the government used to say, you cannot work. After one on Saturday, they used to have their police moving around. And the stores had to close, and you can only open on Monday morning. Nothing changed. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not pull back that risk and sustenance in those days to the person was earning. In that 7 days or in those 6 days that he was open, whatever Allah Ta'ala wanted to give it to him, he gave it to him in those days. But when he extended it, that no, I must work on Saturday also whole day, I must work Sunday also whole day. So that same risk, wallah, believe me, that same risk what he was supposed to get in 5 days time or 6 days time, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala now spreads it out. Now you work, you slog, and you'll get the same thing after working 7 days. Understand this philosophy. We always talk about philosophy, philosophy. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came to the people, he could have resolved the problem in many ways. But if we see that now suddenly you have to make time for namaz. First of all, now the time for namaz, Zohar namaz, Asar namaz, Maghrib namaz. So the person who was working the whole day, now he must take out almost 2-3 hours now, or 2 hours at least, because he's got to go, make wuzu, make namaz, come back. And so 2 hours is gone less. Then that earning of his, he's told, now you must give zakat on that wealth. Now you must give sadaqat. Now you must take care of the orphans, the widows, the destitute and all this. So that earning of his, again there's a reduction. Then again he's told, now there's jihad time, you must take your wealth and go and make jihad. So the earning times were reduced, expenditure was increased by means of zakat and all these things. And yet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them so much of barakat, so much of barakat, that wealth was flowing. We must not think that they all were very poor. Now this came away, by the way, I had no intention of talking on this line. What I was getting across to you is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is to provide for them sustenance from all sides, very, very easily, without difficulty. So that Allah is not dead. Was it some different kind of Allah for that city, and now there's another Allah? One person was leaving this country and going somewhere else. So he went to one wali of Allah ta'ala and he said that, I'm leaving this country and I'm going somewhere else. He said, why? He said, no, things are not too grand here and I can do better that side. So he said, when you go to that country, give the Allah of that country my salam. He said, I'm having a problem with sustenance and risk and business and all here, so I'm leaving this country and going somewhere else. He said, the Allah of that country must give him my salam. Of course, it was not haram, it was not forbidden. You can travel to a different land, you can go to a different country, you can go to a different town and earn your livelihood. But the point that he was getting across, that this person, Iman, that only if you leave this country and go somewhere else, then you will be safe and you will have enough. He was addressing that issue. So Allah Ta'ala was at providing for them from all sides. But what did they do? فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. And this is what is linked to that dua that we are making, that we want the protection of those ni'mats and we don't want Allah Ta'ala to unleash His anger. So Allah Ta'ala says that this city, Allah gave to them so much of sustenance, so much of protection, so much of security, so much of peace and quiet and tranquility, but فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. These ni'mats and these bounties which they were given, they became ungrateful to Allah Ta'ala. They began to misuse, they began to abuse, they began to waste. So then Allah Ta'ala gave them two azab. One was terror. Terror struck their hearts after that. Allah Ta'ala put such fear and terror into their hearts. The conditions in that city changed. The conditions of peace and security changed, and now there was nothing but terror there, fear all the time. The person has to look right, look left, look behind, look forward, and we always told, lock up your windows. Now this, as I said, can happen to anybody, the pious and those who are not so pious, it can happen to everybody. But for the pious, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives them a little test and then He replaces it with plentiful. Or He wants to increase their stages. But I am talking about people like us, sinful ones like us, general. That terror, Allah Ta'ala says, I gave garment of terror, and Allah uses the word libas, like how the garment covers the body, like that terror covered them now. And hunger, that means poverty, whether it was due to drought or famine, or also it is a kind of a poverty that the person, he can have plentiful, but he says it's not enough, not enough, not enough. The person who earns 30,000, he says not enough. Person earning 100,000, he says not enough. Person earning any amount, he says not enough. There are some running into millions, but they say it's not enough. So Allah Ta'ala put terror, fear and hunger. Generally, it is that hunger that due to drought, famine and other conditions, cost of living is going very high. Now the person cannot manage. So this was an azab because of their ingratitude that they showed to Allah Ta'ala. In other words, the zawal of the ni'mat came and the reversal of fortunes came because of ingratitude to Allah Ta'ala. Now let us look at our lives. As I'm mentioning, just pointing one or two things that which is causing the loss. But look at our weddings, look at our walimas, look at our birthday parties and engagement feasts. In fact, a person now feels ashamed to clean his plate when there are half a dozen things there that he has dished out, because those deep trenches of his eyes does not get filled. If we are told that breakfast is provided in this hotel, go to Makkah Sharif, Madina Sharif, leave other places, just go there and see. That the person's, the deep trenches of his eyes doesn't get filled. If there are half a dozen kinds of rolls there, and half a dozen kinds of fruit, and cereals, and everything else, he knows that he can only eat this much, or that much. But because he's seeing all those things there, so he will dish out everything. He will take one bite of this, two bites of that, three bites of that, and everything is left there, and then it is put into the bin and gone. In our weddings and walimas, as I say, now because there's biryani too there, and there's sweet dishes there, or it's a seven-course meal, now how many people can have that kind of appetite to eat so much? But because it's a seven-course meal, now the person is dishing out everything, and then he leaves half his plate and is gone. And all that food ends up in the dirt bin, and so much of it is washed down the drains, then we say the cost of living has gone very high. Allah Ta'ala's azab is coming. And somebody's jadu blocked my business. It's wastage which is causing this zawal of our ni'mats. I gave one example of the, and alhamdulillah, so many people, wallah, I'm telling you, in the masjid, I don't want to speak any lie, so many people have telephoned or they've written and they've said that, Mawlana, that example changed our thinking. I said, look at our cards which we are distributing. Now, it's, take our weddings. Now, the wedding card. Some cards run into 50 rand, 100 rand, and up to 200 rand card I was given at one time. And the best part is that that card, when that person was handing it to me, I'm talking about 15, 16 years ago. Now, imagine at that time, that kind of a money that was being spent, the amount of wrappings and whatnot was there. So he gave me that card and then he's asking me, Mawlana, this madrasa here, yeah, I was gone for an inspection to one of the madrasas. He says, Mawlana, this madrasa here, that chairman was telling me that they're running out of funds because there are lots of poor pupils and they don't have the funds to run this madrasa. So can we give them zakat money for payment of salaries? So that time I too was a little young, a little bit hot-headed. So I said, the money that you spent on these cards, that is the money that you should be giving to them to pay salaries. And don't say zakat money to pay salaries. Nevertheless, what I want to get across to you is, now the person has given a card, 50 rand card, 30 rand card, or 100 rand card, and it's going to happen now again, Eid time. So much of cards will be distributed. Now the person reads in the card, the marriage of so-and-so to so-and-so will take place on a certain day. That's about all. And then what he does with that card? He tears it up like that. I'm talking about the majority of the cards. Now if I have to give you a 100 rand note, and in front of me you take it and tear it like that, and throw it in the bin, will I ever give you a 100 rand note again? If I have to give you a gift of 100 rands, and in front of me the person takes the 100 rand, tears it up, after having a good look at it and throws it in the bin, will I ever give it to him again? Now what is the difference? That is what the person has done. He has spent 50 rand, 60 rands on a card which the person looked at once and he tore it up and threw it. I must have received thousands of cards from over the past 30 years that I'm in the service of Deen of Allah Ta'ala. I don't have one card with me. Now where did all those cards go? From those days? It went into the bin. Or we must have burnt it up if there was the name of Allah or Bismillah or anything like that. Then we'll say bury it or burn it. But nothing has been framed or kept. So it all ended in the bin. Is this not wastage? Is this not ingratitude to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for His ni'mats? Then we say after 5 years, 10 years, that company closed, that company closed, that big business closed, that so many big names, we don't hear of them anymore. We don't even know whether they were existing at one time. Brothers, I'm speaking from the depths of my heart, wallah. Let us get rid of wastage from our lives. Use the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. If He has given it to us, use it. But don't abuse it. Don't waste it. Don't throw it in the bin. Don't put it down the drain. Even a grain of rice has to be shown due respect. A grain of rice also must be shown due respect. Go and ask those people who couldn't get one glass of water for days and days, or they couldn't get one morsel of food for days and days, that when they saw some helicopter coming, or when they saw somebody coming for distribution with a truck, then those who were rich and wealthy at one time, but because of the bombings and because of other disasters, they had become refugees. See how they run to grab just that little bit that is thrown at them. And we will sit on the wuzukhana taps, and the tap is open and it's running one way. In our homes, we are brushing our teeth and the water is flowing for no more. Why? Because we got water on tap. But I remember when we had the floods here some years ago. So everybody had to queue up. The rich and the poor all were queuing up with tanks and with containers and with jugs and with everything, because the truck will be coming just now to give a few liters of water for those few days that everything was damaged. So let us not play with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy also. Allah is very merciful, very forgiving, very kind, very generous. There's nobody more merciful than Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But He's also got certain principles. There are certain usools. So فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوءِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَسْنَوُونَ. So whilst we are seeking protection with these du'as, then we must also make sure that we are not doing those things which anger Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We are saying, O Allah, protect us from all kinds of anger. So this wastage, israf, it angers Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The time has expired, so I make du'a that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq of understanding the Quran Sharif, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and implementing in our lives. Then we will find our lives becoming very peaceful, comfortable, happy. We will have contentment, we'll have satisfaction, we'll have qana'at, istighna. The last few days are left of Ramadan. Beg Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness for whatever mistakes we may have made in the past. We have made many, many mistakes. We all were in the same boat. At one time we never knew these things. But Allah Ta'ala has given us these opportunities. And for now, from now on, check where am I going wrong? Am I wasting? وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. If you are sitting here, make sure your car is not obstructing. This is the wazifa that I will keep reading. This is one wazifa also that has to be read all the time. That make sure your cars are not obstructed. Sometimes one person is sitting with tasbih here and his car is right at the entrance to the parking lot. Now people want to come out and they can't come out. So what kind of a wazifa is that? And the person is quite happy that he's engaged in wazifa, in dua, in talim, in Quran Sharif. Yes, when there's a program that is announced from this time to that time, and at that time if the person wants to come out quickly, he must park outside. This card business that I was talking about, now will be Eid season. The same thing will happen. How many Eid cards do you have in your possession? From the time that the person was born up till now, I don't know how many Eids went and how many cards came. Where did all of them end? So there's a lot of wastage in our lives, lot of wastage, lot of israf. And on account of this israf and wastage, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is making life more and more difficult. He's snatching away those ni'mats. He gives a person a chance to make amends, to make a change. But instead of pulling back and instead of putting things right, we increase our wastage. And then the whole society suffers then because of the wastage of a few. When you say you want to accept Islam, then it means that you are going to believe in certain things. You are going to do certain things and you're going to stay away from certain things. That is what accepting Islam means. You already know the basic. I'll just give you one or two things to remember. That firstly, you will have to now believe that there's only one Allah. There's only one God. Only one Allah. People have given God different names, but our belief is there's just one Allah. He is the creator of the whole universe. He is the creator of the heavens, the earth, the trees, the animals, the human beings, the fish in the sea. Everything you look at, you see the power of the one and only creator. Your eyes are seeing, your ears are hearing, your thumbprint, you've got a different one, I got a different one, the millions of people have got different ones. All these are showing the power of one powerful, almighty creator. So firstly, that is what it means. You're going to believe in one Allah. This Allah you cannot see with your eyes, but you can see Him in His creation, in all the things around you. You ponder, you reflect, you'll see the greatness of that one creator. So now that creator, you have to believe in Him, not that He just exists, He's living. You have to believe that He is all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing. He's got many attributes, but the main ones, that He's all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing. When you believe in an Allah like that, so then it becomes easy to do what He has ordered and to stay away from what He is displeased with. All the crime that is taking place in the world, it is because there's no belief in one Allah who is all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing, and who will question the person on the Day of Judgment for whatever he has done. So firstly, you believe in an Allah Ta'ala like that. You'll be given some literature and will give you some lessons too. Now this Allah, He cannot come to each and every one and tell him that this is what I want you to do, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. It's not possible. Allah Ta'ala will send some messengers to go and inform the people that what is He pleased with and what is He displeased with. So right from Hazrat Adam, the first man, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he was the first prophet also. So from his time up till now, up till the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that is, we call him Muhammad, he was the last and the final messenger of Allah Ta'ala. So plus minus 124,000 prophets came. Now all these prophets, they brought just one message, that believe in one Allah, believe in life after death, believe in the Day of Judgment. Those things were common to all the prophets. So Allah Ta'ala has sent these prophets to inform us what is pleasing to Him and what is displeasing. What does He want us to do in this world? How does He want us to live our life in this world? So you are going to believe in the messengers of Allah Ta'ala. Now from amongst those messengers, there were major ones like Moses, David, and who they call Jesus Christ. Now we will say Musa, Dawood, Isa, and as I said, the greatest and the last messenger was Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you will be believing in all the messengers of Allah. But just as laws of the government keep changing according to the needs of the time. So when the first prophet came at that time, there was a different society, a different need. And it continued like that until it reached perfection in the time of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the laws and regulations were slowly being changed until it reached perfection. But what laws were given to him are the most perfect, complete. After him no prophet came and no messenger will ever come. So you will be believing in all the messengers of Allah that they were truthful ones. But after they left, man made a lot of changes in the teachings. So the last and the final messenger was Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. You believe in all the angels of God. These angels, they have been given functions and duties. We have angel that is appointed to give that Buddha soul, angels to, for various functions, for different functions. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has got millions of angels. Now these angels, we don't see them. But Allah Ta'ala, He has given them, after creating them out of light, whosoever, whatever function he has to perform, Allah Ta'ala has given him that capability. So you believe in all the angels of God. And there's details to that, you don't have to worry about that. Now you'll learn slowly. These messengers of God, some of them were given books and some were not given books. But you have to believe that the Quran, which you hear us reading here and you see the Muslims carrying around, it is the final book of Allah Ta'ala, final word of Allah Ta'ala, which hasn't gone under any change, no alteration, no addition, nothing. Little children, you see them here reading the Quran Sharif by heart, memorized it. So you believe in the books of God, but that all the books that came before the Quran have been altered, changed, there have been new additions. The only book that hasn't gone under any change is the Quran Sharif. And a very important belief is that after this life, there's another life. After this life, there is another life. You don't turn to dust and that's the end of everything. There is resurrection. Every person that was on the surface of this earth will come back to life. Whoever died will come back to life. And then there will be a day of judgment. Now if a person firmly believes in this day of judgment, then he will understand that lots of crooks get away in this world. They steal and they get away. They commit murder and they get away. They do all sorts of wrong things and they get away. Because the police can't catch everybody. And if the police catch them too, the police is corrupt, then what are you going to do? So there is a day of judgment in which every person is going to answer for his doings. So now that will keep you away from those things that are prohibited. Then person will either go to heaven or will go to hell. So basically these are the beliefs. Very, very briefly, these are the beliefs. Then you will have to make salah or prayers 5 times a day. This is the first prayer of the day, the morning one. Then you are a security guard here, so you see people coming here in the afternoon. Then again they come an hour or so before sunset, then after sunset, and then 1.5 hour after sunset. So these are the 5 prayers. So that a person stays connected with his creator, with his sustainer. So these 5 prayers, you don't have to get frightened that how am I going to pray 5 times a day. So if so many hundreds are praying, thousands are praying, millions are praying in the world. So it is not difficult. But everything has to be learnt. So in the early stages, all you have to do is make Allahu Akbar and say Subhanallah, 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 and Allahu Akbar. But all these different postures and all that, somebody will teach you, inshallah. So the prayers 5 times a day. Then this month is called the month of Ramadan. And in this month, all the Muslims are fasting, or they should be fasting. Those who are adults of age, according to the teachings of Islam, then from dawn till sunset, they have to keep fast. No eating, no drinking. Now that you have accepted Islam, you will be becoming a Muslim, reverting. So from tomorrow onwards, you have to keep a fast. From dawn to sunset, no eating, no drinking, no smoking. So no carnal desires being fulfilled. So that is a fast. If you have a certain amount of wealth, then you have to give 2.5%. I'm just saying certain amount because there are details which you will be taught. If you have a certain amount of wealth in which you can go to Makkah Sharif and make pilgrimage, then you have to go to make pilgrimage. That's once in a lifetime. So these are the compulsory duties. The things that you have to stay away from, now that is important. That when a person is not a Muslim, then there's no restriction of any kind. Because this world is a world in which for a Muslim it is like a prison. That how in a prison everything is regulated, that you can't sleep the time you like, you can't get up the time you like, you can't wear the type of clothes you want, you can't eat the type of food that you want. So like that in this world, the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He regulates our lives that you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you can eat this, you can eat that. You must get up certain time. You mustn't go to sleep until you made your Isha Salat prayers. So like that, you must stay away from pork. That is forbidden. And there's again detail what kind of animals and all that. That is not so important for you to know all the details now. But what we term as haram meat. So that Musa will tell you some details afterwards. So stay away from all kinds of haram food. Anything that's haram, you stay away from. Opposite of haram is halal. That means everything that's permissible. So there's so many things that are permissible that you can eat. Stay away from fornication and adultery. Now that is a very common sin that the non-Muslim indulges in. And to these days lots of Muslims too. That unless you are married to a woman, it is not permissible to sleep with any other woman. Only if she is your wife, then she is permissible for you, otherwise it is haram. So stay away from that. Stay away from gambling. Gambling is totally prohibited. No matter how attractive that lotto is, that if I buy one ticket I can get a couple million, but stay away from that. Your little earning which will be halal will give you plenty of blessings of Allah. So it's just a few things like that. Drinking, alcohol, anything that harms your health or harms the family or harms the society is what Allah Ta'ala has prohibited. And everything that is good, Allah Ta'ala has permitted. So I've just given it to you in a nutshell. So you're happy to accept these beliefs. You're happy to become a Muslim. MashaAllah. So say after me. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. I believe in one Allah, all His messengers, all His angels, all His books, life after death, day of judgment, and taqdeer. That everything that a person does is in the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala, and it will happen. So these are the beliefs. Say, I will pray 5 times a day. I will pray. Say, I will pray 5 times a day. Fast in Ramadan. Give zakat if due. Go for Hajj if possible. I will stay away from gambling, drinking, from adultery or fornication and all other haram. MashaAllah. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accept your Islam. Allah Ta'ala use you for the service of His deen. Allah Ta'ala give you the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. What was your name? Joseph. With J, I don't think we have a name in Yusuf, yeah. And normally what we suggest is, say somebody was Moses, so you give him a name, Musa, so his signature and all still remains the same. He doesn't have a problem with that. If the person's name was Steve, then you give him Suleiman, so that S still remains. But it's not necessary, it's just, but mashallah, Joseph, so we make it Yusuf. Mashallah, Yusuf. Right, but now the most important thing is the follow-up. To become a Muslim is easy, but now to start learning. You've got Musa here, you've got the other Musa, and we all are around too, and take off some time. Then start, we'll give one simple book to start learning prayers and all the other elementary and basic teachings. Alright, mashallah. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد بارك وسلم. Allah, He is much better than us. He has just opened His chapter and file. His book of deeds has just opened. Oh my beloved Allah, we don't know how much of sins have already been recorded in our deeds. We don't know how much of evil has been recorded in our book of deeds. Allah accept his coming into Islam. Allah make him a pious, righteous, practicing Muslim. Ya Allah, fill his heart with yaqeen, with iman. Ya Allah, fill his heart with the noor of Quran. Oh my beloved Allah, accept his coming and use him for the hidayat of deen of so many people. Ay mere pyare Allah, inko to qubool kar le. Ay Allah, inko sehat de, afiyat de, izzat wali zindagi de. Har qisam ke maasiyat aur gunahon se inki hifazat farma. Inko apne maqbool bandon mein shumar kar le. Ay Allah, inko ilm e deen ata farma aur us par amal ki taufeeq ata farma. اور دین کی خدمت کے لیے اللہ ان کو قبول فرما اور ان کے ذریعے سے ہزاروں لاکھوں کو تو دین اسلام کے اندر داخل ہونے کی توفیق عطا فرما وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ سیدنا و نبینا و شفیعنا و مولانا محمد و آلہ و اصحاب اجمعین برحمتک یا ماشاءاللہ That is what I always say, the security must be a Muslim. Because then he's got love for the masjid, he's got love for the salat, he's got love for the Quran Sharif. MashaAllah. Allah Ta'ala become pleased with you. MashaAllah.